This is the Wrestling With Your Calling podcast with Dr. Conrad, Season 2, The Matters of the Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Conrad Davies. For this season, we're going to do a deep dive into the matters of the heart. Proverbs 20 and 5 will be our lead scripture. It says, "The purposes of a person's heart are like deep waters, but a person of understanding can draw them out." I pray that we become a people of understanding who draw out the deep matters of the heart. I'm excited about what you will learn today. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is Wrestling With Your Calling with Dr. Conrad. This is your host, Dr. Conrad Davies. I do want to speak today about the construction of your heart, the construction of your heart. And I want to use, there's a communication theory called constructivism. If I recall correctly, a man named Jesse Delia, he postulated this theory. I believe he was out of the University of Illinois, the Champaign campus. And he said that basically the way our thinking and the way our life works, there's this idea of that there are mental constructs or building blocks that get created. And these building blocks come together, which then develop something called cognitive complexity. And the more cognitively complex we are, the better communicators we can be. And then there's other things that, there are other things that happen inside of us with this cognitive complexity. It just helps us to communicate, but there are other components there to where when we have higher levels of cognitive complexity, we know how to negotiate more complex circumstances. When we have lower levels of cognitive complexity, then we may be very pragmatic and plain with language and the way we communicate because there's not enough complexity. In other words, it's the core concept. What I understand from Jesse Delia's theory is that, hence the root word construct, and constructivism would say that there is a things that have been constructed in our worlds, mental constructs. And as these building blocks sophisticatedly come together, we find ourselves processing life the way we are going to process it based on those constructs. Well, if we take a Hebraic perspective of our thinking, our meditation, our memory, our reflections, speaking in the heart, then we would see that all this would be happening in the heart. And then it would be tied to some of our emotions, our passions, our desires, our will, our consciousness. All of that would be in the functioning in the heart. And so I'm starting with Jesse Delia's theoretical construct, and I want to tie it to just this heart talk, this deep dive in the heart. If you listen to one of my former, depending on the order of how I post this, but I have a podcast that says The Heart Needs Training, and I talked a little bit about something called cognitive processing, which falls under this umbrella of constructivism. It's this idea that when we have these, the way we process cognitively, there are five phases, and constructivism helps to sort of frame that. And then even the cognitive processing framework helps us to think out the way we think. Let me replay those quickly and then continue on with constructivism and then go and then identify this whole idea of construction of the heart. Well, those five cognitive processing frameworks, if you remember, part one was sensory input. Input or data comes into us from our senses, touch, taste, feeling, hearing, smell. And that data comes in. But then part two is that we put meaning to the data, meaning to that data that comes in. Part three is that it stores, almost like a hard drive on a computer. It stores in the C drive, the long-term memory after that data comes in. Part four is that we have retrieval processes. These are triggers. These are things that draw things out of the long-term memory. And then part five is that there's output. There's some kind of communication output, where in that output, we may say something, respond a certain way, behave a certain way, think a certain way, act a certain way. There's an output, but it comes from the process of an input being meaning, storing, having a retrieval process, and then there's output. Well, that's all been constructed. in various ways. So constructivism helps us think about what are the mental constructs that created all that. So let me give just an example is that in my world, because of certain broken dynamics of my family, there are sensitivities that I have with certain types of people, certain demographics of people, certain, when I say demographics, it's more of like they carry themselves a certain way. Well, there was hurt or inputs that came in as a child, and those inputs were a seed that was watered in input, whether it's something I saw or heard, I tasted, I felt, whatever. There's inputs that came in. Meaning got attached from a young age, but my cognitive capacity or complexity wasn't sophisticated enough to process it. So it just, but there at that stage, and I didn't get counsel or whatever for it, whatever meaning I had was there. Then it got stored in my heart. And then there were these triggers, events that were similar or events that reminded me of those things would trigger that long-term memory of what was seeded when I was a child. And then the output would be is a similar response or a protective response. I don't want to feel that again. I don't want that to happen. There's fear that may come up. All these outputs would, and I would respond certain way. I may even respond pridefully because it was like, nope, I'm not going to let you touch that area or hurt me, whoever the circumstances was later. So in other words, a wound came here in the place of input and meaning and storage and retrieval things got built sophisticatedly there. And then the output, whether later in life or shortly afterwards, was real because there was a trained construction, a trained pattern, mental constructs sophisticatedly built together, created this world of mine. Some of that was my personality, ways that I responded to personality. We talk a lot in our culture about, in the United States, about personality. Well, you know, the scripture talks more about character because we don't really know Paul's personality or Jesus's personality per se. We know about character. But in terms of personality, there's a lot of things we don't know how they said things. Were they brash? Were they brute? Were they very harsh with something? You know, did they smile a lot? Did they carry themselves? Were they social butterflies? Were they introverted or extroverted? We don't really know. We can't really derive that from the scriptures in some ways. But character-wise, we can see their character. We can see certain things that they did and they said that were consistent or inconsistent with God's character. But we talk a lot about personality. So I'm saying that because I'm speaking to personality was created from these constructs that were built because of experiences I had, and I had certain output responses. But then I've had to learn the nature of, even though I have that construction, I need to tie it to character because there's certain constructs that the Holy Spirit wants to build in my thinking, which helps me to overcome that process. He wants to create new inputs. He wants to put new meaning to things that happened from that input. He wants to store new things. He wants there to be a new retrieval process and to have better output of action and behavior and character, character out of me. So there's a lot being said here. We can, as I continue on, here's another thought that's coming to mind. If we understand the construction process that we've gone through, Let me back up. I was having some new thoughts, and as I was having those thoughts, I was needing to see how I transitioned what I'm talking about. Well, so if you take, let me be practical towards you for a second. If you think back and process the facts of your life, there were seeds that were planted, and if you think about a seed, it looks very different from fruit. The seed does not look like the fruit, or the input does not look like the output. But too often we're judging the output and we're deriving meaning from the output, but we miss the fact that it started as a seed. And oftentimes we don't know what the seed looked like or how the seed was planted. And sometimes the seed did not come from us. It wasn't our process of creation. We didn't plant that plant, if I can say that that simple. We didn't start the mental construct process. We didn't construct it from the beginning. So our understanding is actually quite limited on a lot of things in our own lives. We may be able to see that with our children or other people, because we can see how the seed planted here, it grew here, it got anchored here, on and on and on, and then it fruited. We can sometimes be gardeners in another's life or watch the gardening process in another's lives, but our lives is a lot harder because we don't know those seeds that were planted. Because sometimes a seed may seem insignificant. It's like, oh, that's nothing. But then once that thing starts to grow and take root and it starts to get its elaborate root system and then it starts to fruit and all those other things, that growth process, it's hard to stop that growth process. It's quite strong. The spirit of life and growth process is very strong. So what I'm saying there is this, is that sometimes when we're trying to unravel our own stuff, we're going from the fruit process back to the seed process. And oftentimes we need revelation there. Because our capacity is sometimes hard to go from fruit to seed. But the Lord who knows all things can reveal to us, here's the seed, and look at how it developed into the fruit. And if we understand some of this process that I shared with you about constructivism and how it creates this cognitive complexity and these mental constructs, or thinking about the cognitive process, the five steps of the cognitive process, if we can kind of take frameworks from what I've shared with you, and we now apply it in our lives as God gives us revelation, we can start to see, oh, I see the seed that got planted when I was 6, when I was 7, when I was 8, 9, 10, whatever. And I can see the process of how meaning got attached here. And it got stored in my heart here. And then there's retrieval process that were created here. And then now look at the output of my life, the way I treat people, the way I speak to people. And the Lord can help us unravel all that by revelation, and then we can go garden our hearts anew, garden our hearts afresh. And we can start to look at, Lord, consciously, will you help me to plant a new seed here? Consciously, will you help me to uproot this other system? Consciously, will you help me to starve basically, this other plant that I've been eating off of, this thing that started when I was 6, but yet help me to plant a new seed? And water it and establish new meaning and get new storage and retrieval processes. It takes work. We start to become gardeners of our hearts. We start to guard and protect our heart. We start to walk out things that we didn't walk out before because we now potentially know a process that helps us to say seed, meaning, storage, retrieval, output. And we start to behave differently. And we start to participate with God in what he does with us and gardening us, gardening our hearts so that we can walk in the fullness of what he would have for us. So let me try to land this plane. I've said a lot there. I'm always hoping as I'm speaking these things out, keep in mind, I'm talking out something because I want to write a book about this stuff. I'm talking out some things. So if my podcast sometimes seem jumbled, I'm really having a conversation with you. I'm welcoming you into my thoughts as I'm processing, and I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit will just breathe on you to help you to think out and process out the things in your heart and help give you revelation. All the podcasts that I speak, some of them may not connect with you. Even parts of some of an individual episode may not connect with you. However, there may be some things that the Holy Spirit highlights, and if that's the case, just run with that. Don't feel like you have to, I'm not expecting these episodes to be perfectly linear and just go from point 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. I have a theme, but I'm talking it out. So bear with my heart here. So what I was getting at is that my desire is to see how the more we understand a process, the more we recognize our heart like a garden and there's a construction and a building that has happened, the more we can see that God is intentional about what he does in us. He knows what can gut out old plants and he knows what can place in new, fruitful, life-giving plants. And so we begin to allow him to garden us. I know how to end. Here we go. John 15 just kind of came to mind. And he says, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is a gardener. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. There's something about abiding in him. Jesus is the Word made flesh, the Word in Jesus, staying near, staying close. He identifies himself as the true vine, and he identifies God as a gardener. There's something about allowing God to garden us and Jesus to be that true vine. There's life that comes. And as we allow the Father and Son, and we stay near to the two, there's something beautiful, and Holy Spirit walks us and leads us to them. There's something beautiful about how we can find ourselves being gardened by the Lord. And we partner with him in the gardening process. We allow him, we open up our soil, our hearts, to allow him to say, bad plant here, let's get rid of that one or starve that one. A good plant here, let's plant or plant new things here. Let's prune and cultivate this one. And so there's something about God understanding the gardening and the construction of what he did for the human heart. He understands all that, and we allow him to do the work he needs to do. So friends, thank you for your just listening in, supporting. Please share this, pass this along to others. If you see that there's value here, support the podcast. You can support at different levels per month. You'll see that in the description below. Reach out. If you haven't got the book, go get the book. If you have questions for me, reach out. Hope you're well today. Have a good rest of the day. Peace. Wow, friend. I appreciate your support of this podcast. This season is powerful, and I hope it brings you loads of encouragement, insight, and hope. I hope you listen to these episodes repeatedly and share them with your friends. If you haven't ordered a copy of the book, you can do so at our website, wrestlingwithyourcalling.com. Also, I'd love to coach you, so reach out for a consultation through the website as well. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to email me. All the contact information is below or on the website. And be sure to subscribe so that you're notified of the next episodes. I'll be putting out a lot of content this season. Remember, I want you to become an ace. Go be activated, cultivated, and empowered today. Until next time, friends. Shalom.